Welcome, everybody, to another deep dive. Have you ever wondered what makes certain chord combinations in music just feel so right?
Well, get ready to unlock those aha moments because today we're diving deep into the world of harmonic direction and chord progressions.
We're taking you on a journey from individual notes all the way to the emotional impact of a full chord progression.
And we're doing it with excerpts from Harmonic Direction I, Tonal Functions, and the Chord Progression.
It's a fascinating look at the why behind the music.
Yeah.
So are you ready to go beyond just hearing music to actually understanding it?
I am.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you know, it all starts with physics.
It really does, yeah. The harmonic series, it's like the hidden foundation of everything in music.
Okay, so we're starting in the basement of this musical house we're building.
Yeah.
And then we'll head upstairs to the melodies.
Love it.
Our source mentions C and G. Can you walk us through that?
Okay, so picture this. You're playing a C on the piano. You're actually hearing a whole bunch of fainter notes vibrating along with it. These are called overtones, right?
Okay.
And guess which overtone is especially strong?
Which one?
G.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's why the interval of a perfect fifth from C to G sounds so stable, so pleasing.
Exactly.
It's like they were meant to be together.
They really are.
But how do we go from two notes to a whole scale?
That's where scale degrees come in. Each one has a unique role to play in our musical house. Think of them as the different rooms.
Okay.
The tonic is home base.
Right.
The dominant adds tension. And then all the others kind of contribute to the mood.
Oh, I love that. So the tonic, like our C in a C major scale,
yeah,
that's our home base, the most stable.
It's
the place where we feel resolved.
Yeah.
Then we've got the dominant a fifth away, which always seems to want to pull us back to the tonic.
It does. Think about a song that builds suspense. You know that feeling. Often it's using that dominant chord, making you crave that resolution back to the tonic. It's like the will they, won't they of music theory.
Yes.
I love it. And then, of course, you have the other scale degrees.
Yeah.
The mediant, subdominant, submediant. They each add their own flavor to the mix.
Right.
But things get even more interesting when we start talking about major and minor keys.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. It's like we've redecorated our musical house.
You got it. Our source material uses the terms major mode and minor mode to describe these. And those perfect fifth relationships we talked about,
yeah,
they're essential to understanding how these modes create totally different vibes.
Okay, listeners, if you have the source material handy, take a look at those diagrams.
Yes.
They show the perfect fifth relationships in major and minor.
It's really helpful to see it visually.
It really helps to solidify these concepts.
Visualizing it is key.
What do those diagrams tell us?
Well, one thing they really highlight is how important the tonic-dominant relationship is. It's like the bedrock of Western harmony.
Our source material dives into something called harmonic function.
Right.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, you can't just have the rooms. You need hallways to connect them.
Right.
Harmonic function is all about how chords, which are built from those scale degrees, create movement and direction in music.
So each chord has a job to do.
Yeah.
Depending on its function.
Think of it this way. We've got three main tonal regions.
Okay.
Tonic, subdominant, and dominant. And the source material describes these as having like distinct personalities.
Okay, I am all about these musical personalities. Tell me more.
Well, the tonic, as we've discussed, is our home base, right? Stable, grounded.
Yeah.
The subdominant, on the other hand, creates a feeling of restlessness, like we're searching for something.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the dominant, you know, our old friend, always pulling us back towards that satisfying resolution.
Oh, this makes me want to go back and analyze every song that I love.
I know.
Because you can literally feel that pull from the dominant to the tonic in so many great tracks.
But how does a composer actually do that? How do they create these feelings?
That is where harmonic progression and root motion come in. It's about the journey between chords.
Okay.
The source describes root motion as how the root note of each chord changes in relation to the others.
So if I'm hearing a series of chords, I should be listening for how that lowest note is moving.
Yes.
That's the root.
You got it. And that root, the source breaks it down into three main types of root motion: strong, weak, and adjacent.
Okay.
Strong motion, that's like taking big, decisive steps. Think moving up a fourth or down a fifth really propels the music forward.
So if I'm hearing that strong root motion, I'm going to feel like something is happening, like we're going somewhere.
Exactly. Exactly. Now contrast that with weak motion.
Okay.
Which is more like taking smaller kind of lingering steps, maybe moving up by a second or down by a third. Hmm. It creates a sense of pause or reflection.
So it's not that one is better than the other.
Yeah.
It's just using the right tool for the job.
Exactly. A skilled composer will use a combination of strong and weak motion to tell a story. Create that dynamic ebb and flow that keeps us engaged.
Now, there was that third one, adjacent root motion. That sounds like playing in traffic a little bit.
A little bit. It can be, yeah. Adjacent motion is when the roots of two chords are right next to each other on the scale. So it can create this feeling of smoothness, but also, depending on how it's done, a kind of unexpected tension.
Ooh, I like that. It's like the composer is saying, I'm going to keep you on your toes.
Exactly. It's all about creating that journey for the listener. And sometimes a little detour can be very effective.
So to bring it back to our musical house analogy, strong root motion is like I'm walking from one room to the next. I know what I'm doing.
Yes.
Weak root motion, I'm pausing to admire the view.
Yeah.
And then adjacent root motion, I'm taking that detour down that hidden hallway.
I love it.
It's amazing how much goes into creating music that makes us, you know, feel something.
Right.
I bet you hear things differently now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like you gain this new superpower. You can hear the inner workings of the music.
Totally.
And as you listen to different genres, you really start to notice how composers use these techniques in like totally unique ways.
Yeah.
Think about the blues, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
Blues often relies really heavily on those dominant chords.
Right.
Creating that signature kind of yearning emotional intensity.
It all comes back to those tonal regions, right?
Yeah.
The blues really leans into those feelings of longing you get from the subdominant.
Right.
And the tension of the dominant. And then resolving back to the tonic in a way that, like, punches you in the gut.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like the composer is taking us on this emotional journey through these different tonal regions. And, you know, the source material even hints at composers who completely like rewrote the rules of harmony.
Yeah. They mentioned Arnold Schoenberg.
Yes.
And his exploration of atonality.
Yeah.
That's where music moves away from having one clear tonal center, right?
Exactly. It's like venturing outside of our musical house altogether. Like Schoenberg, he felt like those traditional tonal relationships, they'd been, you know, explored so thoroughly, it was time for something new.
Wow.
So he developed all these techniques that move beyond those familiar harmonic functions.
So for our listener, if you really want to kind of shake up your understanding of music,
yeah,
diving into Schoenberg's work, that's a good next step.
It is. It's like going from, you know, mastering one language to then exploring this completely new one.
Exactly.
A challenge, but it can be really, really rewarding. And I think that's the beauty of music theory. There's always something more to learn. There's always like another layer to uncover.
I love that. Well, this has been great. We've gone from like the physics of sound waves.
I know.
To the emotional impact of chord progressions.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. Mm. All because of those great sources you brought in. It's been quite the journey.
It has.
Through this musical house of harmony.
The journey is never truly over, though, is it?
It's not.
Every time you hear a new piece of music, it's a chance to put these new skills to work, you know? Deepen our understanding and appreciate the art even more.
Listen more closely.
Yes.
So, listener, we encourage you to do just that. Go back to your favorite songs. Listen to those harmonic movements, those shifts in tone, those tensions. See if you hear things differently. And until next time, keep exploring this amazing world of music.